Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, from the horse capital of the world, Bluegrass Country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
All righty, well, I'm going to have to back up a little bit and do a commercial and then come back on. Last Saturday at Oaklawn, the grade $325,000 Razorback Handicap was won by It Happened Again, a five-year-old son of Proud Citizen, bred by Dita McGeehee and trained by Steve Asmussen. It Happened Again has posted three consecutive wins at Oaklawn. He has won a place in five stakes during his career, three of them graded stakes, and he's earned $333,078. Proud Citizen has sired 36 stakes horses in his first four crops. 15 have won a place in graded stakes, including the brilliant Proud Spell, champion three-year-old filly of her year, winner of five graded stakes, including the Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks and the Grade 1 Alabama, and of over $2,131,000. Graded stakes winner Proud Citizen stands was second in the Kentucky Derby, third in the Preakness, is one of the most successful sons of Gone West. In other stakes last weekend, Uncle Mo moved a step closer to his goal, the Kentucky Derby, by easily defeating the timely Rider Stakes at Gulfstream Park. Undefeated and unextended, Uncle Mo by Indian Charlie won the Eclipse Award as champion two-year-old of 2010, the fourth Eclipse Award earned by a progeny of Indian Charlie. Proud Citizen and Indian Charlie stand at Mr. and Mrs. Brad and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. All right, Jackie, I guess we'll just roll from here.
Oh, okay, I'm rolling. right downhill.
All right, well, what are we
gathering doing? Gathering no moss.
We're here, of course, at the Thoroughbred Center at the Clocker Stand. We've got a sloppy track today. Busy morning this morning.
It rained more than I thought. I went out to feed, and there's water puddles.
Yeah.
Of course, it was already saturated.
Yeah. But. Well, I didn't know. I think it rained harder here than it did at home.
I don't know. We've got puddles in the driveway.
Yeah. Well, anyway, track sloppy.
Oh, it's a bunch of workers. Holes in the driveway.
Yeah. But bunch of workers here this morning, and I was here by myself most of the morning. Matt Howard came in with Dutcher and spent a few minutes helping me right after the break, clocking. But otherwise, I messed them all up by myself.
Good for you.
Right.
Hey, listen, this is this is interesting to me. I was sitting there this morning. It was 6:30. It was dark, and I looked up, and I could see the moon. And the moon was huge. It was a gorgeous moon. And then, you know, the clouds had covered it and it had come back. And I thought, that's absolutely, you know, whatever. So I was watching the Weather Channel, and it's called a super moon. And it's closer to the Earth in its elliptical orbit than it gets in years. And that's why, when did you say?
1993.
1993 it was this close. And that's why it looks so big. So notice it tonight if it's clear, because it's gorgeous.
All righty, I'll take a look at it.
There you go.
About sober up in time.
Well, it depends on whether we win or lose, I guess.
Yeah, I assume. Yeah. I assume. Lord, here comes Mario with a bunch of workers, I'm sure.
Okay, I'll go.
Let's see. What is today? What was last Saturday? The 12th?
Yeah,
since last.
The 19th.
Yeah, we have now had 31 winners this month, and since I talked to you last, let's see, Kiko Gothard saddled one down at Mountain Ear, Brian Michael saddled a winner, Jimmy Cargan saddled two winners, one at Mountain Ear and the other one at Turfway, and Matt Frazier rode the one at Turfway from him. Matt has been riding real well here lately. Eduardo Caramori had a winner at Mountain Ear. Let's see who else, Thomas Mungi last night, a winner at Mountain Ear, and Matt Frazier. Took a quarter horse to Remington Park, won the $50,000 stakes, the Big Daddy Stakes down there with Skyline Lover, named after Matt. anyway, it's and Matt's going to come on and tell us about that trip at the top of the hour. He's done really well with his quarter horses, and he trains thoroughbreds too. I think this thing has won six or seven stakes in a row. Farm, and belongs to his father, Dan Frazier. They're neighbor of ours down in Bourbon County. And once again, Matt will be here at about 11 o'clock if he doesn't forget or get too busy. He's got a bunch of horses over there. Jackie, there goes Matt Street on that horse with the blue jacket. You got it?
He looks good, doesn't he?
Yeah, he rides real good. Are you getting ready to clock him?
No.
You got him clocking something?
No, Mario didn't get here in time, and he can't find his rider, and he can't find the horse.
I don't know if they want something or not.
They're with him. Oh,
okay.
I got it. You're covered.
We're covered? All right. Where am I? Okay, Matt Strait will be here at...
Matt Strait?
No.
Matt Howard?
No, not Matt Howard either. Matt Frazier will be at the
11,
Matt Frazier. At 11 o'clock.
A whole
bunch of Matts out here. Of course, Dr. Doug Byer is going to come in, and Michael Blowen.
With the double super secret mystery topic.
He's got a secret topic today?
No, well, he asked me last night, he said, what would you like me to talk about? And I said, I asked about 2 weeks ago for something special, and I couldn't remember. So the last I saw of him, it was a secret, whatever he was going to talk about.
Oh, that's Doug you're talking about.
Yes.
Yeah, that Dr. Byer, yeah. Okay, well, anyway, they're coming in. We're going to get a hold of Steve Moody and see who's going to win the stakes down at Turfway today. And I didn't even write down what the hell the name of that stake is, and I didn't bring my racing form.
Well, you're prepared.
I'm really prepared. Oh, you know, I didn't pick it up today. That's why. It's over there in the mailbox.
Well, I can go over and get it for you when Michael
I'll get it on the way home.
Don't say which mailbox. There'll be a run on that mailbox. Those things are expensive, racing forms. What do they cost now?
$7, I think.
Whew, doggies.
Yeah. You're in the hole. You gotta get a long shot just to get out.
You have to have an expensive parakeet to use that for your bottom of the cage.
Yeah, exactly. And let's see, we're going to do a little history. We're taking a look at some of the better two-year-olds of, what year is it? 1957 we're into now. And we're going to take a look at Misty Flight, who was by Prince Quilu, out of a great producer named Gray Flight, who won, incidentally, she was a stakes winner, and has produced 9 stakes winners. And they all ran.
Yeah.
Yeah. She had a bunch of other foals, but anyway. Anyway.
Was she a Whitney horse? I don't know why that hops in my mind.
Wheatley.
Wheatley. Well, I was close. I had the first 2 letters,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, one in Bourbon County and one in Fayette County. But other than that, you're pretty close. Phipps, in other words. And let's see, we're going to take a look at a horse that I remember very well named Kentucky Pride. And he was a non-stakes winner, by the way. He won as a 2-year-old, but he just ran twice and won them both. Showed a lot of promise, and Calumet had him. He was by Bull Lee. And so we'll have a talk.
They were all by Bull Lee for a while.
No, they had a bunch of Blenheims, too.
Yeah.
You know, they were part of that syndicate that Bull Hancock put together to
bring him over to
import Blenheim the second. So anyway. All right, Jackie, you want to start on the old Lord of Mercy or something else I forgot to do?
What?
Never mind. Go ahead.
Well, here's a grocery list in case you want to stop by the grocery since you don't have anything to do.
I haven't done anything right today. I think. Well, this would have been yesterday.
Okay.
What is this?
What is that? It looks like a commercial to me.
Yeah, it is. It's out of place now. Oh, okay. No, that's one I did.
When are you going to make up that one, Bruce?
Plug it in a little bit later. It doesn't make any difference.
Okay. Now. Well, Kentucky Equine Humane Center Horse of the Week. Now, this is a humane center that does their job, folks. This is not the largely impugned TRF that got plastered all over the New York Times yesterday for horses that have been neglected. This is Kentucky Equine Humane Center down in southern Fayette County, and they do a good job. They have got a horse of the week, and this little guy's name is Sammy. He's a bay thoroughbred. You know, he looks like a rescue, to tell you the truth, because he's got this old stringy hair, and, you know, his mane's on the wrong side, and it looks like they've combed it, but they sure haven't pulled it. Anyway, he's a bay thoroughbred. He's 2 years old. He's gelded. He's 15'2". No training. He's been handled minimally. Yeah, I bet he has. and needs. He gets, he's most willing to learn. He's very cooperative, gets along well with other geldings. He's a gorgeous mover. And let's see, I like Bays. He may have a couple of white feet. I can't tell because I think his right front male, just a little low white. And the hind, look here, that off hind, or is that the near hind? Looks like there's a little white around. Low, not up a lot. So anyway.
You need ink in your copy machine's your problem.
I know. Huh. Anyway, it's Kentucky Equine Humane Center, KYEHC.org. They're down on Catnip Hill, which is kind of runs between Harrodsburg and Nicholasville Road on down there. Okay, University of Kentucky Equine Initiative is pleased to welcome Ted Bassett's going to speak. It's Distinguished Lecture Series, March 31st, beginning at 6 o'clock in the Gluck Center on campus. Dan Liebman, who was past editor-in-chief of the Blood Horse, and before that he worked for the Racing Form, are going to moderate an informal question and answer discussion. So, lecture's free, open to the public. Due to the generous sponsorship provided by Haggard's. So, March 31st, 6 o'clock at the Gluck Center in the auditorium at UK. That's Ted Bassett. That'd be interesting. He's got a lot of nice stories to tell. What is this? This is from last week. Oh, Sean Dameron. Dameron Tech's back in the Bluegrass. His retail location opened. He's open Monday through Friday, 2 to 6. He's in Versailles now. When you go into Versailles and you hit the courthouse, hang a right, and he's down there between two big churches. It says Dameron Cams or Dameron Tech. His number is 230-6449. What the cams part is he's putting cameras in people's barns and out hanging off poles and pastures and good stuff like that, so that you can get this picture from the camera. See, I'm so non-techie. Goes back to your phone, and you can pick up your phone and look and see if anything's going on that you need to take care of. Today is the 28th annual Fayette County Farm Bureau Farm Equipment Consignment Auction. It started at 9:30 this morning, and it's at the horse park. You go in the main entrance and turn right, and it's $5 to park. They've got all kind of farm equipment, all kind of lawn and garden equipment. So it's a good deal. And Walt Robertson, Ryan Mahan, and our own Tom Biederman are the auctioneers. So good. Today being March 19th at the Horse Park is Bluegrass Mounted Games that started this morning and Snowbird Dressage. I think this is the last of the Snowbird Dressage. If you're interested, you know, it's not a bad idea to go on over there and watch. It goes on for hours. They take turns doing dressage tests, which is pretty decent. You can get a kind of a handle on what it looks like and what it's like to compete. Let's see. March 22nd is the USEF, that's the United States Equestrian Federation's Dressage Clinic with Chuck Walker. If you're interested in this clinic, go to usef.org and check it out. Next week is our rodeo. Woo-hoo. 25th through the 27th. That's the middle of next week. And then Mid-South Games next week and the Paul Frazier, CKRH, at Central Kentucky Riding for Hope. That's their show.
All righty. Well, nearly 60% of the two-year-olds which were ranked on the 2010 Experimental Free Handicap were bred in Kentucky. That comes no surprise. 113 out of 191. And, of course, that includes the top one, Uncle Moo, who was very impressive last week, wasn't he? And since 1984, 77% of all North American Breeders' Cup winners were bred right here in Kentucky. And in 2010, Kentucky Breds won 62% of all graded stakes, 62% of all U.S. Grade 1 stakes, and 8 of the 12 Eclipse Award champions were bred right in Kentucky. Now, these figures given to me, these stats given to me by David Schweitzer over at Kentucky Thoroughbred Association and by the Kentucky Thoroughbred Owners and Breeders people over there. And very impressive statistics, and I thought I'd point that out to you right now before I go to a commercial, which is... let's see, I need one for Claiborne Farm, and why? How come I don't have it? Oh, Lord, is it going to be one of those days? Let's see, I know what happened. Here it is, got stuck to the other one. Okay, well, the first foals by Parading are arriving this year, and as expected, they are superb individuals. We say as expected because Parading is himself a superb individual. If you haven't seen him, well, you need to go see him. And he was a runner, a multiple graded stakes winner with a great pedigree to match. He's by leading sire Pulpit, a rapidly emerging sire of sires, out of the graded stakes performer on Parade, a full sister by Stormcat to the champion filly Storm Flag Flying. Of course, out of the classic winner My Flag by Easy Gore. And the next dam is the great undefeated race mare Personal Anton. So here you have a multiple graded stakes winner by a sire of sires from a great female family, sighing good-looking foals, standing for $3,500 live foal, and that's Parading. In stakes last Saturday, the grindstone at the fairgrounds was won by Great Mills, a three-year-old colt in the first crop by Warfront. Great Mills is the fifth first crop stakes winner by Warfront, a son of Danzig, and the nation's number one ranked second crop sire. Both Parading and Warfront stand at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams. And check the website at claibornefarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally Van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Van's has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, he's a multiple graded stakes winner. He won over $1 million. He's by the stallion which topped the North American sire list for the past 2 years. His female family is loaded with graded stakes winners, and he stands for $7,500 live foal. And that's Cowboy Cal. Cowboy Cal won the Laurel Futurity as a two-year-old. Three, he won graded stakes at Keeneland, graded stakes at Calder, ran second in three other stakes, including the grade one Bluegrass and the grade one Hollywood Derby. Four, he won three grade two stakes, two of them at Santa Anita, and one, well, it was at Santa Anita, but it was at the Oak Tree meet. And he ran a mile and won 33 flat, ran second in grade one stakes at Churchill, second in grade two stakes at Saratoga, and third in the grade one stakes at Hollywood Park, and in grade two stakes at Saratoga. He was game, he was fast, and he was consistent. He's by Giant's Causeway out of a daughter seeking a goal, his second dam won stakes, graded stakes, produced grade one stakes, one of over 3,500,000, and this is immediate female family of the grade one stakes winner and $2 million earner, Commentator, and many more. Cowboy Cal, first foals arriving this year, 7,500 live foal at Pin Oak Stud. Inquiries to Clifford Berry and see the website, if I can say it, at pinoakstud.com. People work horses this late.
Yeah, the sun's up.
Yeah, especially on Saturdays for crying out loud, you know. I mean, normally I'm out of here a little after 10 and don't have to mess with it. But now, you know, here we are in the middle of a radio show and these idiots are coming out here still working horses.
And you have to mess with us.
And yeah, right.
Idiots
all idiots everywhere. All right. Michael Blowen and Dr. Doug Bauer here this morning. And Michael, how are you this morning? I haven't seen you since last night.
I know. Got free beer. It was fabulous.
Yeah.
But that's the way to end the day, you know?
We got a discount on our dinner, too.
Holy mackerel.
Well, I didn't eat mackerel, but I had snapper.
There you go. We got to work on this routine.
You're right.
Yeah.
Pretty bad. Pretty bad. Well, things are going good over at Old Friends. Sun's coming out, getting more busloads of people over there to see the horses. And, you know, you mentioned commentator in that ad for a Pin Oak. He's doing great.
Yeah, I haven't seen him. I need to get over there and see him. I haven't been over in a while.
Yeah, you can see him and Patton and Marquetry.
I remember Patton when he was down at Airdrie.
Sure.
Yeah.
And before Dr. Byers has a heart attack, you know, we can't take that many horses in anymore because we don't have any room. But we got a great one on the waiting list. And who's another old Airdrie stallion?
Who is this?
Afternoon Delights.
Oh, yeah. Boy, he was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bert Backrack's going to kick in some serious dough.
He was, is he really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that's neat. He was by private terms, wasn't he?
Yeah, it's amazing. Yes, he was.
Right. Yeah.
You know, really, I don't care what you say about him, Jackie. Occasionally, he surprises everybody.
Yeah, occasionally, yeah. Just a little light bulb goes up there, and, well, golly, I remember that one. You
know, yeah.
Usually it's 40 years ago.
Yeah.
It's yesterday. I can't remember anymore.
Oh. Well, Ball 4 is over at Dr. Byers' farm. He had his shoes taken off yesterday. He's doing well, and we're all excited that Jim Bouton, the former pitcher for the Yankees, is going to come down to Bluegrass Stakes Day and introduce him over at Keeneland. And Julian Lee Peru, who rode him, is all excited about having him back too. He's Julian's favorite horse.
Is he going to get up on him over there?
We're gonna try and get him to do that, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, why not? Well, maybe you can give him 10% of the purse, can't you?
10% of what we're getting. That's right.
Exactly.
I'll give him 100% of what we're getting.
Well, that's going to be a van bill. No, Sally.
Sally, no van bills.
No van bill.
They brought Ball 4 down here. You know, it was so cool, too. That, you know, I love the van drivers for Sally Vance. They're just really,
well,
really
they're the
great
best.
Guys.
Yeah.
And one of the guys was telling me how excited he was that he got to bring Zenyatta over from the airport to Keeneland.
Oh,
when,
yeah.
When she arrived. She arrived. So I guess when the Queen comes, she gets a Sally van, too.
Well, she probably would be going to Lane's Inn, and that's where Rachel is.
That's where Zenyatta is.
I mean,
Zenyatta. And I take back everything I just said about him.
Okay. Well, what I was going to say is, though, is that they hauled Rachel, too.
Oh, okay.
You know, yeah. Sally Van did. They all on both.
There you go. Yeah. As long as you're not driving, leave one off at Lane's Inn and the other off at you're at Jess Jackson's.
Well, I think I might have been able to tell the difference.
Yeah, I think so.
One's a little bigger than the other one.
Yeah, but this is it's a beautiful day. I'm hoping people will come out and see these amazing athletes. They're all doing really, really well. Keep our fingers crossed that they all continue to do well under the watchful eye of Dr. Byers and Janet and Kent and everybody.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Very good. Very good. Were you going to say something about that article in New York Times? You want to pass on that?
No, that's all right. Probably people know by now that listen to this program, a lot of them know that there was a front page article in the New York Times that talked about some unfortunate circumstances that the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation found themselves in, and there were some problems with some of the horses, and it's too bad that it got to that point. But you know, that's the first thing. The second thing is this is a hard business to be in, especially with the economy down and everything else. And I never thought that I'd spend the rest of my life being a fundraiser. Because my idea of having this horse farm was sitting outside reading the racing form, putting my feet up, drinking beer, coming back and forth to the simulcast and petting horses. And
well, you're doing that now, aren't you?
Well, not as much as I'd like.
I can vouch for you drinking the beer.
Yeah, it's very, very difficult to raise the money. It's very, very difficult to do that. And the other thing is, And this in no way excuses what happened. And Joe Drape, that's a really well-researched article. I mean, he did a really, really good job.
Yeah.
And it was instigated by the Mellon Foundation, because the Mellon Foundation had heard rumors that there were some problems with some of the horses, and they had an independent investigation, and they're the ones, I guess, that dealt with Joe. So in no way do I mean to excuse any of this. But, you know, when you're getting these, you know, you're getting 4, 5, or 6 phone calls a day from really, really nice people who want to do best by their horses, and they've run out of money, and you know, and in some cases, one guy, he, you know, one woman called me and she goes, she's dying of cancer, and she wanted to have a place for her horse so she could die happy. I mean, what are you supposed to do when you get those phone calls? I mean, it's a very, very difficult position to be in. So it's easy to understand how they could get overloaded and burdened. And then all of a sudden, you know, you get one donor. We had one donor who sent us a check that bounced for a lot of money. And we never could get that money back. So there are these financial problems. Everybody's got them. Now, fortunately, you know, our horses look great, and all the money's going to the horses. So we don't have any problems to the extent that the TRF did. And as I said, I don't mean to excuse that kind of behavior. But on the other hand, there's a lot of pressure to take these horses, and
yeah,
it's a difficult thing.
Yeah.
You know, timing-wise, the Thoroughbred Times, I believe, is going to publish an article on developing sustained funding. So
Dr. Byers wrote it. It's fabulous article.
It points out that we just benevolent dollars just aren't enough of them. You know, that people make contributions, but they can't do it all. And so it just the health and welfare of the horses become such a enormous financial obligation, and we just can't keep pace.
No, I was just signaling to Jackie. Yeah. We had some transmission problems last week.
Oh, yeah, and right.
And we just wanted to check and see. I brought a radio down here. You know, it's kind of hard to tell.
Right.
I think they corrected the problem, but we shall see anyway.
Yeah, we were listening on the way back to the farm last week, Dr. Byers and I, and it was coming in a little oddly.
Well, I don't know what had happened. Something went wrong, but anyway.
You gave it a little Geritol now, and everything's working out a little bit better?
Well, I took the Geritol.
With a beer.
Yeah, with a beer chaser. Yeah, right. All right, well, let me do a commercial here, and then Doc will get to you.
Okay.
All righty. Well, it's all in the family, you know, that ability to win Grade 1 stakes and to produce Grade 1 stakes winners. And the family first defense abounds with Grade 1 performers. Let's go back to his third dam. The Grade 2 winner and Grade 1 placed Image of Reality, or Daughter of In Reality. Image of Reality is the dam of Grade 1 stakes winner and broodmare of the year, Troussard. She's by El Grand Senor, a noted Grade 1 sire. Troussard produced 5 graded stakes winners, 4 of them Grade 1 stakes winners, and 2 of her Grade 1 stakes winners, Empire Maker and Chester House, have both sired Grade 1 stakes winners. A third, Honest Lady, a daughter of the Grade 1 stakes winner and sire, and that's putting it mildly, isn't it? Seattle Slough won Grade 1 stakes, earned nearly $900,000, and has produced 3 stakes winners. One of them is First Defense, who lived up to his Grade 1 pedigree by winning the Grade 1, what was that stakes that he won? Anyway, it was a Grade 1 stakes. Now I add the fact that First Defense is by Grade 1 stakes winner Unbridled Song, sire of 10 Grade 1 stakes winners, and you have the makings of a Grade 1 sire. First Foals by First Defense are yearlings this year. And for Grade 1 potential, watch for them at the major auctions. He stands for 7,500 live foal at Judmont Farm, home also of the Grade 1 stakes winner and Grade 1 sire, Mizzen Mass. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry and see the website at judmont.com. I want to talk about my good friend down at Quillen, to the Leather and Tack. That would be Ralph Quillen. I haven't seen Ralph in a day or two. I need to get back in there. Well, I owe him some money, so...
Go in the back door. Upstairs.
Yeah. I've done that.
Yeah, I had to go over and buy a couple of halters from him. Yeah, he won't give me the discount like he does you, you know?
I don't know why that is.
Well, and I can't put mine on eBay and sell them when they get dirty either, so... Of course,
I saw you on a Quillen ad today on TV.
You're kidding.
No.
How'd I look?
You looked fabulous. You looked about 2 years younger if you got my drift.
I'll have to watch that one.
Which is, 2 years?
Yeah, I guess that commercial is 2 years old. Ralph, let's update that thing.
Yeah, it was on Thoroughbred Week today.
Oh, okay.
This morning.
I swear. Okay, well, Ralph is taking good care of me there, so... and he's glad to have my checks. I guess I haven't bounced one on him yet. But they've got a great store down there. And like I say, they're taking care of Michael Blowing over at Old Friends and giving him a big discount and keeps him in halters all the time, and they're great halters, aren't they, Mike?
Yeah, they are. They last forever. They're absolutely amazing, and the horses look great in them. And when the tourists and the visitors come, they, you know, you like them to look their best, and they do. And we really appreciate what we couldn't afford to keep them in those kind of halters if it wasn't for Ralph's generosity. So
let me ask you this: have you ever taken one off in the paddock there and sold it to a tourist while he's still-
yes. I saw. It's funny you should mention that because people come by and they go, "Why is Marquetry wearing Jade Hunter's halter?" And I go, "Well, this lady came by and said, I love Marquetry. He's my favorite horse. I have some Marquetry." She goes, "Can I buy his halter?" I said, "Well, what we I said, would you like to make a donation in exchange for the halter?" She goes, "Yes." She goes, "I was thinking something in the neighborhood of $400, and I think I got there in 33 and change." and so that's why, if you come by, that is why he's wearing Jade Hunter's halter. Because I got to get over to Ralph's and get him a new one.
Well, he's
got his own name on it, and who knows if that lady won't be coming back.
It's quill and tack and leather. I tell you what, how to find it if you're going in from coming in from the Lexington area, going to Paris, and just keep going straight down to the third light, and look over on your left, and you'll see his shop. It's quill and tack and leather, and got a great gift shop in there too, if you want it for the horse lovers of the world. So just if you'll take a look in there, look around, and you'll love the place. It's a great place to shop. Well, I want to talk about my friends over at Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine. And, of course, I'll give you their location while we're at it. It's right on the corner of Ironworks Pike and Georgetown Pike. You can't miss it. I mean, two great big buildings sitting right there. And it's an electrosurgery place, outpatient medicine. And they're in the forefront of regenerative medicine treatments, you know, like processed stem cell treatments and so forth. Got some great vets over there, Dr. Wes Sutter, who is a board-certified surgeon, and he's completed his surgery residency down at Ohio State. Been down in Ocala for the last few years, but he was with Rudin Riddle for a while. That's where he met Dr. Bill Bernard, who was with Rudin Riddle for 17 years before they decided to go off and do this. And he heads the outpatient medicine division, and that's what this is. You call and make an appointment to bring a horse in. This is for elective treatment now, and they'll treat your horse right there when you come in, and you go home the same day. And that eliminates a whole lot of problems, especially when it comes to maybe passing on something strange, you know, that you can pick up in any hospital, as far as that goes. But they're great people. Dr. Lori Bidwell is down there. She's a board-certified anesthesiologist. She also was with Rudin Riddle, and I guess Dr. Bill talked her into leaving with him is the only thing I can think. But once again, and here's the great thing about them. They're going to give you a price before they do the whatever treatment you want, and that's it. You no added on, no surprises when the bill arrives. So once again, that's the Lexington Equine's Surgery and Sports Medicine, and they've got a website. It's LexingtonEquine.com. So just look them up or give them a call at 967-0770. All right, we back on here now? All right, Dr. Byer, what did you decide? You know, we were talking about this last night, and nobody could make up their mind what the hell to talk about. But
I said, give me a topic. So,
Susan come up with something?
No. whatever she comes up with, I really don't want to go there. I mean, I always say there's hormones out there, instructorone. I want to keep that at the lowest level that we can have, you know.
I hope you enjoy the couch tonight.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, there's a number of those hormones running around our house. You know, we've got directorone, instructorone. We've got all those different things. But anyway, Susan, I'm sorry.
Correctorone.
I thought we'd just kind of go back to some diagnostics, and we talk about lab work and what the owners and the trainers and we'll want to do. And, of course, blood work is usually lab work. And sometimes the veterinarian might have a problem, and the trainer says, well, how about pulling a blood on him, you know? He's got a fever, and how about pulling a blood? And the veterinarian might say, well, I think it's just a viral infection. It's not going to tell us much. And then, of course, when it does get complicated, people like myself that are board certified, they send us that to interpret. And so some of it gets fairly tricky. So if we just look at a CBC, and we got to remember the blood is a window, an available window into their body. So huge amounts of information. So the CBC basically, that's that purple top tube they pull, and it's going to give you that white count, but it's going to give you the distribution of those white cells as well. So you're going to get certain patterns with certain problems. So if that veterinarian says, well, it's kind of a virus, I think we're not going to learn much from it. When that virus first hits, the neutrophils may be normal, but the lymphocytes, which are your immune thing, are depressed. And a couple of days later, and the normal ratio would be about 2-to-1 neutrophils to lymphocytes. And a few days later, the lymphocytes have been stimulated. So now they're higher. So it's 1-to-1 or maybe more lymphocytes to neutrophils. So that gives you confirmation that, yeah, something like this is going on, and we're not going to worry about treating too much. We're just going to watch them, make sure we're all right, not going to stress that animal. There are other white cells that tell you a whole lot. So eosinophils are associated. Those are, people get the same thing. Eosinophils can be associated with some inflammation, but mostly parasitism and allergies. So if you see that there, you say, well, you know, this horse may have some other issues going on. Monocytes are kind of a chronic lymphocyte. When they're elevated, there's something that's been going on for a longer period of time. So they start to manufacture those cells. They don't have those cells to call upon very readily. So they start to manufacture them. So those monocytes become... So you look at the distribution of those cells, and it gives you a lot of information right there. Then we go to the red cells, which you get all in your CBC as well, which is going to tell you if you're anemic or if you're polycythemic, which means you got too many red cells. Mm-hmm. So people who have those disorders go in and get bled. They have their blood removed. And because the blood gets too syrupy, too thick, and they don't feel good. So anemia would be the opposite of that, but you pick that up off there, and then you can kind of tell because the red cell size is also measured. And so that would be the mean cell corpuscular size, the volume, the amount of hemoglobin inside there. So if you, your general thing would be your hemoglobin is 1/3 of your hematocrit or the packed cell volume. If it's not, then a lot of times it's a lab error. And then those things happen. So you pull another sample, make sure it's right. So for an example, you might have a hematocrit of 21, and so your hemoglobin ought to be 7. But if you've got a hemoglobin of 15, something's wrong. The labs and horse red cells, different labs, different areas, the machines have to be set to a horse. It varies. So if you're off in Nebraska somewhere and they take it to a human hospital, you could get erroneous results just because the horse red cell size is too small for the machine, and it has to be calibrated and set up to do that. So that would be, you know... typical looking at the CBC, but you get your platelet count as well, which is your clot former. And sometimes you have horses that have conditions that are off on the platelet count. Then when we go to our red top tube, we get our chemistry. And our chemistry is really important. It's going to tell you this horse didn't perform very well. Mm-hmm. And his muscle enzymes are off the wall. He didn't tie up, but his muscle enzymes were way up. So that tells you right away what something's cooking. And same with liver, kidney function. your electrolytes that all come off of your chemistry tube. So get a ton of information, you know, to come out of there. And it's, so it's always worthwhile if you don't know what's going on to pull blood, take a good look at it. Veterinarian usually will say, I'm going to pull the blood, but he may not, and he or she may not. And so you turn around and the trainer or the owner say, look, you know, this has been going on now. He's had a fever off and on for a week. So let's look at the blood work. And they'll do that. Then they go beyond blood work, and you've got all these fancy tests, which we have as routine today. ELISA tests are our immune tests to spot something. So you take a fecal sample into the lab, and you run it for rotavirus, and you can have that result in an hour.
Yeah.
2 hours, and very quick. PCRs are the other one that kind of like looking at DNA. So you swab in a horse's nose, you see if he's got, herpes or one of those things. In the old days, we used to do titers. And so you pull a blood titer on a horse, which is their antibody count in their bloodstream. And so let's suppose you had a herpes titer of 1 to 10. And then you wait 2 weeks and pull another one, and now it's 1 to 80. Anything that's fourfold means they've been exposed to that bug,
yeah,
and they've responded to it. So it makes a diagnosis for you. Usually you say, well, 2 weeks go by. That's just kind of... We already kind of know what the horse is doing anyway.
Yeah.
So, but now we can do these things instantaneously. And we've got so many lab things that are being improved all the time. And we're blessed here. I always sing the accolades of Dr. Craig Carter that runs the diagnostic laboratory.
Mm-hmm.
And Craig does a great job. And, boy, we have a resource here that's unbelievable compared to other parts of the country.
Yeah.
You know, we've got the best.
So, well, that's good.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Doc. Thank you. Appreciate that. Let me do a little commercial here. And you want to say anything else? Are you through for the day?
Well, I just want to give people the phone number just in case they want to come out and enjoy these horses today.
Okay.
It's Old Friends, and the number is area code 502-863-1775. We have tours at 1 and 3, and we hope to see some people out there today. We've already got about 20 people out there this morning. We'll get some more this afternoon. So come out and see them. It's a lot of fun.
A busload of 20 or just 20 different people?
20 different people.
Yeah. What?
Oh, I forgot something.
Oh, what's that?
My daughter got you a T-shirt. She went to get you the sweatshirt from the beer store, and they didn't have that, so they're out of season. Here's your T-shirt.
Well, thank you very much.
You're all set.
What does it say on there?
The beer store.
Just what you want to say.
Oh, the beer store.
Yeah, out of Louisville. You're all set now.
Well, you tell her I really appreciate that.
I don't think he's selling it out of the back of his car.
Well, that's really nice.
Yeah.
Well, you tell her. That's wonderful. Be so thoughtful. I mean, did you sick of? I bet you did that, didn't you?
No, Carrie wanted to do that on her own.
Oh well, good for
so
her.
So that was a spontaneous decision of hers.
Well, that's awful nice. Well, I love the color blue and gray. Hot dog. Thank you so much.
All right.
All righty. We'll put this over here. Don't put it on there, Resty. Resty just wears wildcat blue. Well, Moose and Far won the Grade 3 Sycamore Breeders' Cup Stakes at Keeneland and the Grade 3 Lexington Stakes at Belmont Park. He finished second in the Grade 2 National Museum of Racing Hall of Fame Handicap at Saratoga, also in the Grade 2 Saranac at Saratoga, the Grade 2 Washington Park Handicap at Arlington, the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby, and the Grade 3 Dominion Day Stakes at Woodbine. And third in a three-horse finish in the Grade 1 Gulfstream Park Breeders' Cup Handicap and in Keeneland's Grade 3 Ben Ally. He was dead game. He was competitive wherever he raced, and he ran over many of North America's most demanding tracks. Moosed and Far is by the classic winner, classic sire, and sire of sires unbridled, and his dam is a daughter of champion two-year-old Height of Fashion. Height of Fashion produced 6 stakes winners, 3 champions, including the successful sire, Nashwan. Height of Fashion is a daughter of classic winner and foundation mare Highclere. Great female family. Moosed and Far stands for $3,000 live foal, and he stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stallion manager Ken Barnes, and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. Well,
you ever heard of a horse named Sick Moon?
What?
Sick Moon.
Sick Moon?
Sick.
Sick Moon?
Yeah, they're out there telling me it's, he's saying Sick.
Oh, that's Luis Seglin out there. He can't speak English. He's from Argentina. He had a couple of horses work this morning, Jackie. Anyway, all right. Well, denomination winner March 12th of the Grade 3 Hillsborough Stakes at Tampa was folded Haggard Farm for her breeders, Mr. and Mrs. Alec Head. Misremembered winner of the Santana Mile Stakes at Santa Anita was folded and raised at Hillendale Farm for Bob Baffert. Misremembered won the Grade 1 Santa Anita Handicap last year. He's earned more than $1,236,000. Winter Camp, winner of the Bill Thomas Memorial down at Sunland, was foaled and raised at Diamond A Farm for Pam and Martin Wygod. And the winner of the Mardi Gras Stakes at the Fairgrounds, Street Storm, was bred by Liberation Farm and Brandywine Farm. Congratulations to all from McCauley Brothers, the only feed mill in Kentucky and the first in the nation to produce products exclusively for the horse. Other valued associates of McCauley Brothers include the leading breeder of 2010, Adina Springs, and the leading owner of 2010, Windstar Farm. To join the winning team, just call Steve Baker or Mike Warren or McCauley at McCauley Brothers, and the number over there is 873-3333, or stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles, where you're always welcome. McCauley Brothers, where it's all about the horse. Well, he was a runner, a multiple graded stakes winner of over $872,000. He's by Champion Sire Giant's Causeway. His dam is by leading sire and bridal song out of a champion from a female family that has already given us such superior runners as the great Tom Fool. Now here's the kicker. Breeder married to him in his first season stud this year for a fee of $6,000. Pay the fee when the foal stands and nurses, and you'll receive a free lifetime breeding right. One done. His name is Hold Me Back, and your inspection is invited. In fact, it's encouraged at Windstar Farm. Hold Me Back won his first two starts as a two-year-old. Impressive wins at Keeneland and Arlington Park. He won grade two stakes at three and finished second in a pair of grade one stakes. The historic Travers, beating the likes of Quality Road, who's standing his first season in stud for $35,000, and Warriors Reward, whose first year stud fee is $15,000. Then he came back at four to win graded stakes. So Homie Back has a lot going for him, including the fact that he stands at Windstar Farm, where the stands with foals of racing age are Bluegrass Cat, Distorted Humor, Harlan's Holiday, Sharp Humor, Sprite's Town, and Tis Now, all nationally ranked. Inquiries to Robert Hammond, and see the website at windstarfarm.com. Hey, Jackie, you got any more announcers? Did you finish? I love that T-shirt. It says the beer store.
Says the beer store.
Yeah.
Right up your alley. Right, your couture. Scooter Hughes has got a horse named Something Moon, and I'm sure it's not Sick Moon. And I couldn't find it on the list of horses.
That worked this morning?
Yeah, just now. What would it... Something Moon. I'm sure it's one syllable, but I can't
who
believe it.
Who gave that to you?
The rider.
Oh, Benji?
No, I can understand Irish. I can't understand Spanish.
Oh, that was, okay.
So if you think of it, he's got a horse named Something Moon. One syllable rhymes with sick.
What happens while we're doing this show on days like this when it's real busy, and we do the clocking out here, and we have to go on the air at 10 o'clock. And a lot of these riders or people will come around and want to work horses while we're on the air.
Because they know we're here. Normally, the clocker stand closes at 10.
At 10, yeah.
And he's gone. But they know we're here on Saturday, so they'll come up and work. That's fine.
Yeah, and a lot of
but
times these...
Sick Moon is not the name of that horse. I double dog guarantee you.
Well, no, it's not. But if Scooter wants it, he'll come over here.
Yeah.
That's Scooter Hughes' horse. Anyway, we'll...
Went in three. Something. I mean, that's a nice 5/8, and the track is slow, so
yeah,
he may want it.
Well,
I mean, if it was 1:10, he may not.
That's one of the problems of clocking here is the communications with some of these Hispanic riders.
Yeah,
and of course their English is better than my Spanish, so
which is
yeah. All I can understand is they say 5/8.
5/8.
That means
I
they're going 5/8 of a mile.
Right.
Right. And watch a rail.
Yeah, rail.
Rail. Okay, go ahead, Jack.
Okay, Master, there are a series of horse shows here during the spring, summer, and fall, and I think there are 10 of them now, and several companies, including Macaulay's, have banded together, and they have awarded points. And at the end of the year, they have a nice banquet, and they award points, and it's great for kids. Well, anybody, you know, all you have to do is participate, and you don't have to go to all of them. The first one is April 16th and 17th. It's the Masters and Equestrian Trust, which is a group of people formed a trust to help take care of Masterson Equestrian, well, Masterson Station Park. So this is the first one. And anyway, Saturday the 16th is the Hunter Show. Sunday the 17th is the Jumper Show. So it's you know, a good way to start out the year and start your point gatherings. All right, TOBA has new owner seminars. One is May 5th at the Derby Museum in Louisville, of course. And then they're going to have a breeding clinic here in May, May 27th through the 29th. So, you got new owners or somebody's interested or you just want to hear what they've got to say, go to www.toba.org and check it out. Another horse show that's coming up is the Kentucky Equine Humane Center is going to have their all-breed charity show. They've done this for quite a while. I think it used to be just thoroughbreds, just rehab thoroughbreds. Anyway, this is Sunday, May 8th. It's at Valley High Show Stables. That's in Versailles. And they've got a show bill available if you go to kyehc.org and net Valley High. Is Joyce Brinsfield's place down on 33 in Woodford County. Go down to Bluegrass Parkway and turn left off the first exit, and that is 33. And when the road splits, there's a Y, go left, and she's right down the road.
I better catch up here, Jackie. I'm running behind on my commercials.
Okay. Harlan.
Here comes Matt, too. Harlan's Holiday is the number one sire of 2011 stakes winners with 7. 3 have won graded stakes. That's all right, Jackie. Just finish what you're doing here in a minute. 3 have won graded stakes, including Dynamic Holiday, winner last Sunday, the Grade 3 Here Comes the Bride stakes at Gulfstream. Her third consecutive stakes win in the Mischief is a Grade 1 stakes winner by Harlan's Holiday. And Spendthrift Farm is offering a breed risk-free program to In the Mischief for the 2011 season. Now, the first foal's by In the Mischief for yearlings, and he's been popular with breeders. And he'll have the numbers in his favor when his first foal's race. So in order to maximize his opportunities for success, the breed risk-free program has been introduced for his third season at stud. In the Mischief was a Grade 1 stakes winner at 2. He won stakes and ran second in Grade 1 stakes at 3. He had brilliant speed, 6.5 furlongs and won 14-1, 7 furlongs and won 20-1, mile and a 16th and won 40-4 in Grade 1 stakes. He's by leading sire, the leading sire of 2011 stakes winners out of a stakes-winning mare, and he stands for $8,500 due in the foal stands and nurses. But contact Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey or Sean Feld or Ned Toffey and ask about the breed risk-free program. Number is 294-0030 and see the website at spendthriftfarm.com.
This spring, make some money at the races. Turf Catering is now hiring servers, cashiers, cooks, and other positions for the Keeneland Spring Meet. For an immediate interview, attend the Turf Catering Job Fair on Tuesday, March 22nd from 1 till 6 p.m. in the Keene Barn Entertainment Center at the Man of War and Versailles Road entrance across from the Air Force. For more information, call Turf Catering at 253-0541. Attend the Turf Catering Job Fair Tuesday, March 22nd from 1 to 6 p.m. in the Keene Barn Entertainment Center.
Well, last Saturday at Law, the first time starter unbridled Patricia broke her maiden going a mile by widening 2 lengths. That same day in Philadelphia, Sweet as a Kiss came from off the pace to break her maiden by nearly 3 going a mile. And then Sunday at Golden Gate, Moon's Pride won a 1 mile duel to break his maiden. That was a game race. He fought it out all the way and he won by a head. And Monday, Say Goodnight shipped in from Santa Anita to break her maiden in a 5-furlong sprint at Turf Paradise. That's 4 more runners from the first crop of Unbridled Energy. So, to date, Unbridled Energy is the sow of 14 first crop winners, including a stakes winner, and two that have placed in stakes, plus nine more that have placed and are just sitting on wins. His Miss Buxley shipped in from California, where she had posted her maiden win at Oak Tree, to easily win the Arizona Oaks. It's My Party, after breaking his maiden at Churchill Downs, went west to finish second in the $107,000 Riley Allison Futurity. And Wind Energy, second in her debut at Churchill, later was on the board in two stakes at Hoosier. And others have registered wins at Woodbine, at Turfway, at Collard, Hawthorne. Unbridled Energy is a graded stakes winner by Unbridled Song, out of a stakes-winning mare from a running family, stands at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm for $6,000 live foal. Inquiries to Pope McLean and see the website at crestwoodfarm.com.
I got all right. CKRH, Central Kentucky Ran for Hope, used to be handicapped, is looking for big and small horses. You know, they only take one out of every 10 they try out because they have to be particularly calm and sensible to...
Who's this, Jackie?
Central Kentucky Riding for...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So they're trying to get some big horses so they can do a veterans group. Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
And, of course, they always need small ones, too. But if you go to ckrh.org, you can click on one of those tabs and you get a description of what they're looking for. But you can imagine, you got half a brain, you can figure out what they're looking for.
Yeah, none of ours would do. We got some old geldings on our farm, but they're all sillier than hell.
Well, nice old pony horses, you know, nice old quarter horses, the old-timey quarter horses.
Well, here's a quarter horse man over here.
Okay. Yeah, okay, any old-timey quarter horses, they love them. Okay, the Kentucky Horse Park Foundation Schooling Days. Now, what this is about is... Normally, you're not allowed to go out to the horse park and just unload and ride. You either have to be at a show or something. They have 5 days of the year, however, that you can go out and school on the cross-country course. You can ride the same course of the World Equestrian Games and Rolex and all that big-time stuff and go around there and your jaw drops open when you ride up and the jumps are bigger than you and your horse. Anyway, the first one is Sunday, May 15th. And the following one is Wednesday, June the 1st, and I'll just keep letting you know it's $35. And if you buy a seasonal trailer pass, it's cheaper. It's one day, it's $20. Well, $75 for a seasonal pass. Everything's gone up, isn't it? Okay. Call the horse park, and the sessions run from noon to 4 on Wednesdays, and then 4 to 8. Saturday and Sunday sessions are 8 till noon. I guess you have church of the park, and then noon to 4. So the number is 255-5727. This coming Wednesday, they are having a Spring Hat Collection preview. Tony Leon Wilson Spring Hat Collection. You can buy these pretty hats. It's at the farmhouse, they call it, that restaurant out there, and they've got a chef, and they're going to have the guy, Adam White, used to be with Murray's. It's Wednesday, March the 23rd, from 11:30 to 1:30. The show, the hat show's from 9 to 4. It's only $25. Give them a call, 255-5727. Colostrum's low. Pay attention, colostrum's low. You mayor people, get some colostrum over to the vets, Haggard's and Rude and Riddle, etc. If your racehorse needs a new home, if you call Cantor or get in touch with CantorUSA.org, they'll put your listing up and you sell them yourself. It's a free listing on the internet. My friend Peggy Manus down in Midway has got a lot of new hunting stuff. She calls it the Hunt Box. Got a lot of clothing and really nice, fancy stuff. 846-9343. Give her a call.
All righty. Well, Lou Brissy won last year's Grade 3 Kentucky Juvenile Stakes, ran second in the Grade 3 Bashford Manor at Churchill. Miami Deco captured the 2010 running of the $484,000 Breeder Stakes at Woodbine. Uptown Charlie Brown won the Pasco Stakes at Tampa and placed in the Grade 2 Coolmore Lexington Stakes at Keeneland and in the Grade 3 Sam F. Davis at Tampa. House of Grace won the Jessamine Stakes at Keeneland, placed in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies turf. Old Red will get you in his only start. Won Keeneland Woodbine's $136,000 Victoria Stakes. Delightful Mary, a 3-year-old filly by Limehouse, won the OBS Championship Filly Division on March 14. Last year, Delightful Mary placed in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies and in the Grade 3 Mazarine Cup Breeders' Cup at Woodbine. Now add winners at major tracks from coast to coast, all from the first two crops by Limehouse, and you'll understand why we say that Limehouse is getting the job done at stud. Limehouse won graded stakes at 2, 3, and 4 every year he raced. He earned more than $1,110,000, and he is one of more than 60 stakes winners by Grand Slam. And he's out of a Dixieland band mare that's produced 2 millionaires. He stands at Vinery. Inquiries to John Gasper, Francis Relihan, or Grant Williamson, and see the website at vinery.com.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, broadcasting live from the Mingy Beef Jerky Studios.
Mingy Beef Jerky, you'll love it as much as we do.
This is WLXG AM Lexington.
The American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at FrisNet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2 and 3-year-olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at brisnet.com or call 859-223-4444.
Well, last Saturday in Oakland, the great $325,000 Razorback Handicap was won by It Happened Again. A 5-year-old son of proud citizen bred by Dr. Dee Dee McGehee, trained by Steve Asmussen. Now, It Happened Again has posted 3 consecutive wins at Oaklawn. He's won or placed in 5 stakes during his career, 3 of them graded stakes, and he's earned over $333,000. Proud citizen has sired 36 stakes horses in his first 4 crops. 15 of them have won or placed in graded stakes, including, of course, the brilliant Proud Spell. Eclipse Award winner. Winner of 5 graded stakes is a 3-year-old, including the Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks and Grade 1 Alabama, and she earned over $2,131,000 for Brary Jones, who bred her. Now, graded stakes winner Proud Citizen, 2nd in the Kentucky Derby and 3rd in the Preakness, is one of the most successful sons of Gone West. In other stakes last weekend, Uncle Mo moved a step closer to his goal, the Kentucky Derby, by easily taking the Time Rider Stakes at Gulfstream. Undefeated and unextended, Uncle Mo by Indian Charlie won the Eclipse Award as champion 2-year-old of 2010, and that's the 4th Eclipse Award earned by progeny of Indian Charlie. Proud citizen and Indian Charlie standing Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. We're starting the second hour of this fiasco, whatever it is. I've got Matt Frazier with me. Get a little closer to that mic there, Matt. Matt just took a horse down to, a quarter horse down to Remington and won a $50,000 stake down there?
Yes, sir. $50,000 grade 3. Had him on Saturday night. Made his 6 stakes in a row. Stakes win in a row, actually. He's lighting them up right now.
Boy, and, sure is.
And the night before, we had a filly that won a stakes prep race down there, and she'll run back this coming, not today, but this following Saturday, 7 days from today. She'll run in the Decetta Grade 3 stake.
Okay, so you've hauled down there twice now and won two races? Is that
No, sir, we hauled the whole batch down.
Oh, okay. How many did you take down there?
We took four down and ran all four of them. The first two were in a little deep, in a little over their heads, but we knew they were, and we kind of shipped down there a little bit late for those two. It was the second two that we were mainly shipping down for. We figured we'd bring the other two just in case they got a little piece of it while we were making the trip. Might as well load the trailer up. So. Yeah.
How long a trip is that down there?
It's right at 13 hours with horses.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a pretty good haul for them.
What do you think of that facility down there?
They've got a really, really first-class facility. They just did a $15 million renovation to the front side of the track, and they've got about a 50-foot high-definition big screen that sits just inside the infield. It's really impressive. It could be a little bit of a model for how we could be doing things at a lot of other tracks.
Yeah.
Race days, race nights, the stands are pretty darn full. You know, the kind of thing you don't see at a whole lot of tracks anymore. They bring in a good crowd and have a first-class facility. The backside is kept in great order. Nice barns. Couldn't complain about a thing. Yeah. Enjoyed our time.
What's the closest city there?
It's right outside of Oklahoma City. It's all but inside Oklahoma City.
It's in Oklahoma.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. Because yeah. Go ahead, Jackie.
Why do you think they're able to pack people in?
They bring a lot of outside entertainment in. The facilities are excellent. They have, you know, a nice barn grill inside that faces the track just past the wire. I believe we stood around and waited for 20 minutes on a table at 9 o'clock at night on a Friday for a table at the barn grill. You know, they have other means of drawing people in, and you know, quarter horse racing is pretty exciting, and the people out there enjoy quarter horse racing. They're a lot more inundated with the racing culture out there. So,
yeah, well, they have thoroughbred meet there too. I wonder if they do as well.
You know, I'm not sure. I've never been out there for the thoroughbred racing, this was actually our first trip out there. Period. Been out there for the sales, the Heritage Place sales that are just down the road in Oklahoma City, but this was our first trip out there to race. So. Mm-hmm.
Now, is this horse that won this, is he a homebred?
He's not. My dad actually purchased him about 13 months ago out of the January Heritage Place sales that are held in Oklahoma City.
Uh-huh.
Purchased him, and he had some knee issues. We had a chip in each knee, and so Dr. Park here in Lexington took the chips out, and we gave him some time off and brought him back. We struggled with him a little bit at first. He's a distance horse. You know, this race was 550 yards.
Oh, holy, that's a long cow. Way in
for quarter horses. Distance horse for quarter horses. So we were running him in some 350-yard races, which is about all they run right around here. Yeah. 350, 400 yards is about as far as they'll run.
Is that how many furlong? A furlong?
That's yards.
Yards.
So translates to about, you know, 220 yards is an eighth of a mile.
Right.
So.
Is this horse easy to train?
Yes, he is. He's as classy as he'll come across.
What's his name again?
Skyline Lover.
Skyline Lover. Didn't name after you, did he?
No, okay. Afraid not.
He said no awful quick.
Boy, he sure did, didn't he? That's not what, all these little girl riders around
here say. Really? Yeah. I was looking out in his truck to see if any girls stashed in the truck.
Yeah.
He's single, girls.
Yeah. I know it. He's always had these cute little blondes riding for him, too. I don't know about this. And a brunette or two, as far as they go.
Every once in a while.
Oh, look at just a couple generations.
We got him blushing over here. Look at this. That's because he knows it's true.
Yeah, there you go.
Well. Now, the other one you won with, that's not your dad's horse.
No, sir. Gentry Farms out of Lubbock, Texas. They own it, and they have a farm right here in Lexington as well. That's their breeding operation. Matt Howard manages the farm.
Yeah.
And they gave me an opportunity with a couple of horses that they were having a hard time getting down the track earlier, and we were able to improve them enough and win some money for the farm. And got lucky. This filly had changed hands a couple times out in California.
Mm-hmm.
They were having no success with her. She'd run three or four really bad races and had a lot of problems when we got to her. And we did a lot of work, acupuncture, chiropractic. She stays on a regimen of vitamins and herbs that increases blood flow to her extremities. She's a bad-footed filly. So she gets a lot of things done just for her, and it was a lot of work getting her put together, and she started coming alive when we were in Florida this past winter, and Won two out of three races down there, set two new track records. Mm-hmm.
Either one of those stakes?
All three of them were stakes.
All three?
The only one she did not win, she went down to her knees coming out of the gate and came flying, lost in a photo after spotting the field about a length and a half going 400 yards in a $60,000 stake, the last one. And
wow.
The horse that beat her is right now ranked number three in the country, and he beat her in a photo after she fell. So
yeah, now this so was
we like her pretty well, too.
I imagine. Now, this was at Hialeah.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Yeah. What did you think of Hialeah?
We had a great time. We may be a little biased. We had a heck of a meet.
Yeah, right.
That'll make anything look good.
Exactly.
Yeah, that'll pick your head up.
Yes, sir. Yeah. It was a great deal. The people down there were phenomenal to work with. I couldn't make the first complaint about it. We had a great time. Wish it had lasted about another month. I could have stayed out of some of this nasty weather, yeah. but we're not complaining.
Maybe they'll extend that meet a little bit more down
they
there.
They are. Next year it's going to run from December the 2nd until February the 16th, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. So it'll be about a 2.5 month, almost a 3 month meet. Yeah. So.
It used to be a gorgeous track. Is it still pretty?
It still is. They've only renovated about half of the grandstand area, and they've just cordoned off the other half. But you walk into the paddock area, and you can tell what kind of track it used to be.
Yeah.
And what they have renovated, they've done a really good job with. It still needs some work, of course, and they've got big plans for building a casino and all that they claim is going to be done by next November. But what they have renovated, you can tell what the track used to look like, and they've got a lot of the old pictures of Winston Churchill walking through the saddling paddock and that sort of thing. You know, it's a grand track.
Yeah,
it's neat to step into.
What's the stable area like? Does it need renovating a little bit?
Well, they actually tore down all the old barns. We were in temporary stalls, basically. It was a tent barns, which they set them up really well. Had hot walking machines for everybody. I can't complain. The stalls are a little small. They were 10 by 10 stalls, which, our horses are used to a little something bigger.
Yeah, they are, yeah.
So it took them some adjusting to get used to that, and we had to do a little work on getting horses to quit sulking for the first couple of weeks. But once they got, horses adjust. They're incredibly adaptive animals. So
exactly. What was the population? How many races of meat day did they run down there?
They ran 3 days, and they'd run between 8 and 10 races a day. They ran Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, and between 8 to 10 races a day.
Can you run quarter horses quicker than back than you can thoroughbred?
You can. Generally speaking, you can. The Skyline Lover horse, when he was down there, he ran in over the course of a 2 month meet, he ran in 4 stakes races. So, going from
won all four of them,
pretty decisively. The first race was a 550 yarder. The next two were 660 yards, and the last one was a 1,000 yard race.
God, he's ready for the Derby.
Just beyond a half a mile, and that's as far as they ride any quarter horse races. Usually 870 is the max because of the size of that track. It's a mile and a quarter track, and so to start an 870 race, they'd be putting the gate in the turn, so they have to back it up to 1,000 yards.
I have a question
about
that. I don't know anything about quarter horses. But I know that they have a meet out here at the
Red Mile.
Yes, uh-huh.
And a lot of people won't go.
Correct.
Because the stretch is too short, and they run into the turn, and then they're going to hit a. They can't pull them up. Is that right?
That's the gist of it. They can't run past 330 yards, which is still all right for a lot of horses. A lot of horses are 250, 300 yard distance type horses. The biggest problem that I have with it is the first year that they ran that meet, they did a phenomenal job with preparing the track surface, had plenty of run out all the way through the turn to get horses pulled up. Every year since then, we had a lot of trouble the second year, ran 6 horses, and without going into details, we had a lot of trouble.
It's the turn is the problem,
correct,
because you can't stop them in
correct,
time.
Correct, correct. Right when the horses are starting to get a little wobbly-legged and are tired, they're
trying
to pull up.
You don't want
them
to change
on
leads and do all that. Yeah,
exactly.
That's interesting.
Yes,
Let me take a little break here to pay bills, and I'm talking to Matt Frazier. We'll be right back with you, Matt. Well, the first foals by parading are arriving this year, and as expected, they're superb individuals. We say as expected because parading is himself a superb individual. And he was a runner, multiple graded stakes winner with a great pedigree to match. He's by the leading sire Puppet, a rapidly emerging sire of sires, out of the graded stakes performer On Parade, a full sister by Stormcat, two champion filly Storm Flag Flying. Out of the classic winner, My Flag, by Easy Gore. The next dam is the great undefeated race mare, Personal Ensign. So here you have a multiple graded stakes winner by our sire of sires from a great female family, signed good-looking foals, standing for $3,500 live foal. That's parading. In stakes last Saturday, the grindstone at the fairgrounds was won by Great Mills, a three-year-old colt from the first crop by Warfront. Great Mills is the fifth first crop stakes winner by Warfront, the son of Danzig, and the nation's number one ranked second crop sire. Both parading and Warfront stand at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and check the website at ClaibornFarm.com.
Here are two names to remember in the horse business, the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, has been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality is still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
Well, Premier Pegasus, a three-year-old colt by Fusa Ichi Pegasus, demolished nine opponents in last Saturday's Grade II $250,000 San Felipe Stakes, stamping himself as a leading candidate for both the Grade I Santa Anita Derby and the Kentucky Derby. Premier Pegasus won the San Felipe by widening 7 3/4 lengths. That's the largest winning margin ever for the San Felipe. And he did it at the immediate expense of Grade One stakes winner Jacinto. He has won four of his five career starts, including two stakes as a two-year-old, the Grade Three Hollywood Preview and the Jack Goodman Stakes, both at Hollywood Park. So he has now won graded stakes on both dirt and artificial. He was one of nine 2010 stakes winners by Fusa Ichi Pegasus, who, according to statistics published by the Thoroughbred Times, ranked number one on the general sire list last year with progeny earnings of $11,533,738, and is off to another great start in 2011. In addition to Premier Pegasus, Champ Pegasus, a Grade One stakes winner last year, has won the Grade Two San Luis Obispo, and Fusa Code chipped in to take the $100,000 Borderline Derby the other day, and that's a major prep for the Grade Three $800,000 Sunland Park Derby. Kentucky Derby winner Fusa Ichi Pegasus stands at Coolmore's Ashford Stud, leading sires, potential leading sires, only at Coolmore. All right, I'm talking to Matt Frazier, who trains here at the Thoroughbred Center and trains quarter horses here and also thoroughbreds as far as that goes. So he's in business either way you want to go. You worked something out of the gate this morning, quarter horse that went in 10 and change.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it's our Corona Cartel three-year-old. He's...
Now, I never heard of Corona Cartel.
Right, right. Well, for quarter horse people, that one's a big deal. He's one of the top two sires in the country for quarter horses. He's the storm cat of the quarter horse world. Everything he throws are runners. And
what color is he?
He's a chestnut.
Is he?
Yeah. And he's the horse has finally come into his own. You know, he's just kind of a soft, just real fleshy horse, but... And put together right, but he's just been soft, and we've had, you know, issues back and forth with him throughout his two-year-old year. Didn't get to run him but three times during his two-year-old year, and He's got 1 second so far, but hasn't really put it all together. So we're adding blinkers to him. Today was his first trip out of the gates to get approved for blinkers, and didn't seem to hurt him a bit, that's for sure. And we made some other changes.
Yeah.
He's a thin-walled. His feet are fairly thin-walled. So we've changed to glue-on shoes and Jerry Meeling's putting the Polyflex shoes on his front now, which we've had a whole lot of success putting those Polyflex on bad-footed horses, and Jerry's he's done a phenomenal job with a lot of our
he's
horses.
He's real good. Tom always said hello. He's a nice guy.
He's the best. He's one of the best.
Does a good job, Jerry does.
Yes, he does.
There was somebody over here that was waiting for gate work, and they loaded your quarter horse in there, and they said, well, why don't we put mine in there with him? I said, you don't want to go with this one, believe me. Believe me. And they threw that latch, and you know. He says, oh.
Maybe you're right.
Yeah, maybe you're right, yeah.
How long does it take you on the average to get one of them to figure out that it's all go, 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 don't breathe?
They're pretty natural at it for the most part. There are a lot of guys who will get them real cranked up and that kind of thing. I've never been a big believer in it. Once they know what their job is, as long as they like it. They naturally want to, when that gate opens, they want to explode as hard as they can go. And it's not a whole lot different in the gate respect. It's not a whole lot different from prepping a thoroughbred. Get them comfortable with it where they're not scared of it.
The going no fast. To it.
Right. Not that. At all. No. Not at all. It's go, 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 and then whoa, whoa. That's about it.
Go, 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 and whoa, whoa. Huh?
You know? That's about it. Get them pulled out before they hurt themselves go as hard as they can while they're going. So,
how long does this Remington Park meet go?
The meet goes through middle of May.
And then what do you do? Because this is not exactly quarter horse country.
No.
You have to ship a lot.
The majority of ours will be running up at Indiana Downs. They open up just shy of a month from now, at the 18th of next month, and that's where most of ours will go. The only ones that are going out west, the Fredoville filly that we have for Gentry Farms, she's probably going to run another, right now, as long as she keeps coming back sound from races, she's going to go another couple races out there. Philly restricted stakes, which they don't write that sort of race at Indiana Downs, and the Skyline Lover Horse will continue going out there because they don't write distance races at Indiana Downs. And he needs to go 550 yards plus. His next race will be an 870, and that'll be hopefully on the 4th of next month. There's a 35,000 added handicap. And so he'll have to go around the turn for that one. That'll be his second time around the turn.
Wow. The filly that you won for the Gentry Stables down there, I know Matt Howard, we were talking about, he had coach managed his place. He didn't think she was going to win. He thought that would be a little short for her.
I didn't either. I told Matt, I told the owners, the Gentrys, I spoke to them before the race. I said, we're not going down here to win the race. It's a prep race. We want to get her a trip across the track. Get her settled in. It's a 300-yard race, and she doesn't really kick in her big gear until about 250, 300 yards in. I told him the only way she wins the race is if she leaves the latch better than she's ever left since I've had her in training. And flat out, we were not expecting it. She was in with a couple of different 300 and 330-yard specialist fillies.
Yeah.
And, a filly that owns a couple track records going 300 and 330 yards. She got out of the gates great, and she got up. She out-knotted the horse for the win. I mean, it was a photo that it was about a half a nostril separated them, and that was about it.
But that's a big margin in quarter horse
race. There you go. It may as well be a length, huh? But she ran an awesome race. I could not be more tickled with her. If the filly just keeps getting better, and she keeps finding ways to impress us.
Now, the Indiana Downs, you see that quarter horse racing up
yes,
there.
Sir.
How the purses up there?
Purses have been great. Some of the better purses in the country, actually.
Is that right?
Open allowances are running for between 20 and 22,000, depending on what part of the meet it is. Mm-hmm. As they have more money, the slots have just done phenomenal things for them. We get a small percentage of the slot money, but because we only run about three races two nights a week, at the end of the thoroughbred card. That small percentage adds up, and it's really decent money. It's not quite what we'd be running for out at Remington Park, but I mean that's quarter horse country there. So
yeah, that was a $25,000 pot with the filly, wasn't it?
Yes. I think 22,500 was the total purse, and then the stakes race that it was a prep for will be 35,000 added. So.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Yes. Yeah, we're not complaining.
Yeah,
we're not complaining.
That's And then, when does Indiana Downs open? The
18th, cool. The 18th of next month, and be off to a flying start.
You had a pretty good meet up there last year, didn't you?
Yes, sir. We had a good meet. Not as the last couple, previous couple years, we'd had a little better meet. A couple of our good horses had gotten a little spotty on us. We were having some issues that weren't figuring out real quick, and fairly well hidden issues. But once we got those lined out, they've started running great. Down in Florida this year was we kind of put a lot of things together with several of the horses and
came together
at the right time, and hoping to roll that into being a little more fit than everybody at Indiana Downs for the first few weeks and hopefully get up there and hammer on them early and often.
Now, how many of these are homebreds now, do you?
Virtually none of them. We've got a couple on the ground now.
But your dad buy them? I know they're racing you.
We've had a lot more success with just spending a little extra money to get something that we know is capable of running.
Yeah.
May have some small issues that people, spotty careers, that kind of thing. The Strutton High horse that we still have running, we got him. My dad bought him a couple years ago. He had shown in a couple of races that he had the ability, but had not yet put it together in multiple races. We got him, and he had some issues. Got most of the issues resolved, and he ended up, running out, I think, 148,000 that year. So as a quarter horse running in this area, that's doing all right. So,
yeah, damn right.
So we
any horse run any area, it's all right.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you're a native Kentuckian, though. I don't know how you got into the quarter horse, except your dad was into it. Where is your father from?
He's from Maysville area. We've been in the area our whole lives. Paris for the last.
Yeah, well, your neighbors.
15 years, right, just down the road from you all. So, and he owned a couple on the track back before it was even relatively profitable to have quarter horses.
Yeah.
had a filly that was running really well. Won two out of three races, and still had to pay a bill at the end of the month. The profits from that weren't enough to pay the training bill, kind of thing. So those became brood mares, and then when I was eight, I started riding, and we did quarter horse venues, team pinning, barrel racing. For the first 10 years or so, and then when I decided I was going to try to make a career out of the horses, this was the logical next step, and so we've had quarter horses and thoroughbreds ever since.
Yeah,
so.
Well, you've done very well, man.
Thank you, sir.
Well, I want to know, do you have Matt? Just I have to tell people Matt just impressed the heck out of the people out here. When he goes out on his pony with no bridle, he's still riding that thing.
He's actually turned out at the moment. He was starting to get just a little bit sore. He's an X-race horse. He was a stakes winning horse, thoroughbred on the track prior to me getting
what
him.
What did you have on him?
I didn't have him to train, but
just
a neck strap.
Just
a neck strap. Yeah. No halter, no bridle.
Everybody was just.
Oh, that's the one to run off with you a couple of times.
Oh, yeah.
All right,
well,
Matt,
I got to say one more thing. You look real prosperous. Now, how do you tell? Because of the new boots.
Right.
See, new boots. He's got tears in his jeans. That's the fashion.
Right.
But new boots. Whew,
new boots.
That's
there
how you tell.
Well, we were in Oklahoma City. You can get them a little cheaper down there.
Oh, okay.
So.
They're still all right. Fancy.
Oh, well, thank you.
Well, Matt, thanks for stopping by this
yes,
morning.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
Fun talking to you. It's a little different world than what I know and around here, but it's still a good place to train a horse, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, we've got a couple different tracks to choose from, a field gallop and a swimming pool right off the back of the property. So you've got a lot of options. And
whatever you need.
Exactly. You can't beat it.
All right. Matt, thanks.
Yes, sir.
Matt
thank
Frazier.
You very
we appreciate
much.
It.
All righty.
We'll see you around.
Thank you very much.
Just come out here with one of those cute little blondes riding.
Absolutely.
Buddy.
I'll
all
bring
right.
one by. Right. Y'all have a great day.
Well, it's all in the family. That ability to win Grade 1 stakes and to produce Grade 1 stakes winners. The family first defense abounds with Grade 1 performers. Let's go back to the third dam. That's the Grade 2 winner in Grade 1 place Image Reality, a daughter of In Reality. And the Image of Reality is the dam of the Grade 1 stakes winner and brood mare of the year, Troussard. She's by El Gran Senor. He's a noted Grade 1 sire. Troussard produced 5 graded stakes winners, 4 of them Grade 1 winners. 2 of her Grade 1 stakes winners, Empire American Chester House, have sired Grade 1 stakes winners. The third Honest Lady, a daughter of the Grade 1 winner and sire Seattle Sioux, won Grade 1 stakes and earned nearly $900,000. And she's produced three stakes winners, and one of them is First Defense, who lived up to his Grade 1 pedigree by winning Grade 1 stakes. Now, add the fact that First Defense is by the Grade 1 stakes winner, Unbridled Song, and he's sired 10 Grade 1 stakes winners, and you have the makings of a Grade 1 sire. The first foals by First Defense are yearlings this year. For Grade 1 potential, watch for them at the major auctions. He stands for $7,500 live foal at Judmont Farm, home also of the Grade 1 stakes winner and Grade 1 sire Mizzen Mass. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com.
This spring, make some money at the race.
Well, Tom Biedemann, my good buddy. Yeah, he's out at the auctioneering at that farm equipment auction out at the Thoroughbred Center. Tom Biedemann, real estate and auctioneers, but that's where Tom is this morning. But he's, of course, a broker here in Lexington, Central Kentucky Properties and Quality Farms and Residential and Estates on his website. That's Tom Biedemann. And he's got some great people working for him. Tom's a great guy. A fantastic real estate man. He really knows what horsemen want and what they need. And if you're thinking about selling your farm or you're in the market for a farm, he's a man to get in touch with him. Either he or one of his. That's when I kind of got distracted. What's going on, my friend?
Okay. Well, just finishing up this Sunday card.
Can you wait till I get.
No, I want to do it right now.
Basketball.
Well, you'll have to step outside. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'm just finishing up Sunday's card and getting ready here for basketball action.
Oh, okay. It's going to be a tough one today, I believe.
I think it probably will be.
What's the stakes race down there today? I forgot to look, or I've forgotten.
The Tejano Run.
Oh, the Tejano Run, okay. All righty. Go ahead.
All right, Ursula, we've got a field of eight that's been drawn for the Tejano Run. This is a mile and an eighth race for four-year-olds and up. And got three or four in here that I think you've got to take a long look at, starting with the one horse, Max Silver Hammer. This one's going off.
I got the horse right here, the name is Paul Revere, and here's a guy that says if the weather is clear, can do, this guy says the horse can do, if he says the horse can do, can do.
I'm sorry about that, Steve, if you're still there.
I'm still here.
Well, you just got a little Guys and Dolls there, but I don't know where that came from. I had a left wheel somewhere.
I thought it was entertaining.
Yeah. Chris McCarron's here. He liked it. Go ahead. Go. I'm sorry about that, too.
I'm heading down the highway, had the gears running both sides. Thinking of my folks and friends, sunny southern skies. This feeling's about the best I ever had, Lord, I'm fine. I'm heading south with Nashville on my mind. I'm leaving off.
All
right.
All right. That was Arthur Hancock that time.
He get residuals for that, Ursula?
I do. He wants to know if we got residuals for that. No. No, we just have nervous breakdowns.
Kelly Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that...
put you back on hold, and then...
All right. Can you put me back in?
Yeah, yeah. Just put you back on hold, and then we'll get you in.
I don't... Yeah. You're going to put me back
on hold. And on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
All righty. I'm sorry about all that. That's we've got a new young lady on the downtown, and I think she just had a nervous breakdown.
Well, that's what I call throwing somebody under the bus.
Is it? Well, I'm already under there. Steve, we'll get back to you, my friend. I'm sorry about that. I've got Chris McCarron here with me now. And when he comes in, he wants something. So what do you want?
I just want to deliver one little update here, another report.
Oh, okay. What's the update?
Another one of our graduates, actually your wife's favorite student of mine, if I might say
yes.
So. Her name is Aparna Das Batula.
Oh, Aparna.
She's from Bangalore, India, and she rode her first race at Gulfstream Park yesterday.
Oh, good for her.
In the first, and she finished third.
Did she really?
That's wonderful.
She rode a horse for Terry Oliver, who hadn't started since last August, and she rode him beautifully, broke in front, eased back just a little bit, laid third, made a little run, got beat a length and a half.
Oh, my goodness.
That's wonderful. I can't stand it. Do you know if she's going now? She's going to stay at Gulfstream so I can follow her?
I think she's going to try to stay in Florida, and then, as we all know, the bug does very, very well at Calder. So I think she's probably going to try to ride a few more races at Gulfstream, and then when Calder opens, I think she'll stay down there. At least that's what I'm thinking.
Oh, well, that's great.
Yeah. So
I didn't know bugs did better at Calder. So you give me credit for no more than I do. Why is that?
Historically, they do very well. I don't know. I think maybe the South Florida horsemen like to get the weight off their horses, and they can start with a 10-pound bug down there and then go to 7 and 5 after they've won a few races. And and then we got a few more winners this past week, so we're now zeroing in on 760.
Ooh.
760 wins. This is the graduates of Chris's school out here. And... Matt Strait's riding good, isn't he?
He's riding very well. He rode 4 last night, had 2 seconds and a third on mostly long shots. And
he won Thursday.
He won a race Thursday night,
For Jimmy Corrigan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Another one from the training center. Yeah. Wow, we're doing great here.
32 winners this month.
Wow. This is I can't say it's a secret because the place is full, but it's a great place to train a horse.
It really is.
They ship from here and they win everywhere.
That's exactly right. I'm glad you said that because they don't believe me.
Well, I'm out here every day, and I see these guys getting the horses ready. And how about Mark Hubley? I think he won 5 in a row, didn't he?
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
he's batting 500 or something.
And the last time I had looked, Steve Casey had run 6 at Turfway. He had 6 wins, a second, and 2/3.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, nice. How do you spell 60%?
It's awesome. Yeah. Funny thing, one day last week, I got to my barn about 6 in the morning, and one of the gals that works for... Don Combs said, Chris, would you come out here and help me catch these 2 horses? I said, where are they? Well, they're running between the paddocks out behind our barn. So we go out there, and it's dark, and there's 2 horses out there with 4 big white standing bandages on, and I walk up to this chestnut field. I said, man, she's gorgeous. So we ended up putting them in my barn for a couple hours, and finally they located who they belonged to, and it was Mark Hubley.
Oh, funny.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad he put – I'm sure he's glad you put that on the air.
Yeah. I hope his owners aren't listening.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Well, they were completely unscathed. Nothing happened. They both went back to the barn in good shape.
Yeah, well, it happens.
Yeah.
You know, the horses do
get out.
Got to get
out and graze.
We had one get
here.
Out. Remember when Whoosh got out of over there at when we were in barn 15?
Where'd he go?
Oh, he just stayed and went down to the hay.
He ate his way
went to the feed room.
Yeah.
Went right to the feed room.
Yeah,
went in and watched TV, made a few phone calls. You know?
Yeah. Well, anyway, I know you're busy. Thank you very much for letting me come on again. And
thank you for coming up with Aparna. I've got her phone number. I got her into my phone. I'll give her a call this afternoon.
Oh, you'll like this. So yesterday morning about 10 o'clock, I called Gulfstream and asked for the steward's office because I want to call them and thank him for – giving her the opportunity to get her first mount there and everything. And who answers the phone? Don Brumfield.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
He goes, what's Donnie doing
there? He's a steward down there.
Okay.
At Gulfstream, yeah. Yep, stewards. I said, is this one of the judges? Yeah, it's Don Brumfield. Hey, Boot, how you doing, right, brother? How you doing, Boot? So we chatted for a few minutes, but he was busy scratching horses and everything. And he goes, oh, Chris, hold on a second. I got to scratch this horse. I said, oh, I hope it's not my kid's horse. He goes, no, it's not. It's not.
That's great. That's super.
Yeah,
that's
it was fun. Yeah.
Who else you got riding down there?
Well, Justaparna is Justaparna. Down there, yeah.
And who's she with?
Terry Oliver is who she rode the horse for yesterday. And Scotty Moran was asking me, is that the former quarter horse rider, do you know?
I don't know.
Terrence Oliver? Know. Well, Aparna told me he's an assistant to Dale Romans, but he's got some horses on his own as well. And he saw her galloping horses over Tampa and persuaded her to go to Calder and gallop horses for him over there. So she's been at Calder for the last couple of months.
Yeah. She looks good on a horse.
Yeah, she does. Yeah. She does.
She's as big as a minute. I bet she doesn't weigh 90 pounds.
She weighs about 95 soaking wet.
Yeah.
And she's brilliant, too. I think I told you this before. When she came here from India, she already had a college degree in biomechanical engineering.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, she's very, very smart.
Yeah.
She's a little shy.
Oh, she's a good girl.
Oh, but yeah. she's a sweetie.
Yeah. And works hard. She's always the first one to arrive at my barn and never left the barn without saying, is there anything else needs to be done? She's got a great work ethic.
She's just a wonderful girl. Yeah, yeah, I tried to adopt her, but she left.
Hey, did you all hear about Natalie here? What happened to Natalie a couple weeks ago? Yeah, she's home now. She's doing great.
Yeah.
That takes a while to heal ribs.
Oh, I know. There's no blood supply there.
This is another one of Chris's graduates, and had a horse flip with her over behind the gate.
She landed on her feet. She stepped off just in time and landed on her feet, and he came right down on top of her.
Yeah. Broke 9 ribs and a punctured lung.
Actually, they found another one, 10.
10?
Yeah.
What the hell? What's one more rib broken?
I know.
It's the truth.
And Worm, the outrider here, called me and said, Chris, you better get down here. Natalie got hurt. And so I rushed down there. And the paramedics got there about 10 minutes later. So I followed the ambulance to the hospital. When I walk into the ER, Natalie says to me, she can barely breathe. She goes, how long do you think I'll be out? I said, that a girl?
Yeah. Wow, what an attitude. That's
what I
want to
hear. I said, I don't know. I don't even know what's wrong with you yet.
They
hadn't taken any x-rays or anything yet. And I said, yeah, that's the right attitude to have. Her name's Natalie Turner.
Yeah, well, she's a pretty girl, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, she tried out for the Kentucky Derby Princess.
Yeah.
She was. She tried out. She qualified. She got in the finals for that pageant.
They have a busted rib category?
Well, that's why I tried to cheer her up. I said, well, look at it this way. You probably wouldn't have been able to compete. I mean, probably wouldn't have been able to participate in the pageant anyway, now that you're all laid up and everything. She goes, I'll be back before then.
Oh, good for her. That's what. Well, tell her we said hello.
I will.
See you.
I will.
I'm sure you're in touch.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah. Thank you very much, guys. We'll talk to you later.
Anytime.
Thank you. Yeah, anytime. I'd like to keep up with you guys. Well, let's see where we are in there. Okay, well, yeah. Oh, by the way, as soon as I come back, I'll give you Steve Moody's picks in the Tohono Run Stakes. Well, Moost and Fobb won the Grade 3 Sycamore Breeders' Cup Stakes at Keeneland and the Grade 3 Lexington Stakes at Belmont Park. He finished second in the Grade 2 National Museum of Racing Hall of Fame Handicap at Saratoga, the Grade 2 Saranac at Saratoga, the Grade 2 Washington Park Handicap at Arlington, the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby, and the Grade 3 Dominion Day Stakes at Woodbine. Third in a 3-horse photo in a Grade 1 Gulfstream Park Breeders' Cup Handicap and also in Keeneland's Grade 3 Ben Ally. He was dead game, competitive, wherever he raced, and he ran over many of North America's most demanding racetracks. Moost and Far is by the classic winner, classic sire and sire sizer and bridle. His dam is a daughter of champion 2-year-old Haida Fashion. Haida Fashion produced 6 stakes winners, 3 champions, including the top sire, Najwan. Haida Fashion is a daughter of the classic winner and foundation mare, High Clear. It's a great family. Moost and Far stands for $3,000 live foal, and he stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stallion manager Ken Barnes and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. Well, I want to talk about my good friend Jim Fitzgerald over at Knock Griffin Farm and Harper's Island Farm. He runs up and down the road between those two places, and he's always there, and he's a hands-on horseman. He's oversees everything, including our blacksmith.
Keeps everybody in line.
Keeps everybody in line. And he's got great boarding facilities there at both farms, and sales prep, layups, you know, just whatever you need, he can do it. He's had a lifetime experience in the horse business. He's got superior help on the farm, and he can just, if you're in the horse business and you're not doing well, or if you're thinking about getting into the horse business, well, he can just give you some sound, common sense advice. And believe me, he's a guy that you can trust. First-class guy. That's Jim Fitzgerald at Knott Griffin at Harper's Island Farm. His phone number is 987-8032. And his website is Knott Griffin. I'll spell it for you. KNOCKINGRIFFIN.com. Jim Fitzgerald at Knott Griffin Farm. Well, the nationally ranked Sires, Bluegrass Cat, Distorted Humor, Harlan's Holiday, Sharp Humor, Spikestown, and Tisnow stand at Windstar Farm, and all have ranked near at the top in various sire list categories. Harlan's Holiday is the number one ranked sire of 2011 stakes winners, with seven. Three of them graded stakes winners, including Dynamic Holiday, winner Sunday of the Grade 3 Here Comes the Bride stakes at Gulfstream. Spring at Last also stands at Windstar Farm. His first foals are yearlings, and keep this in mind. He was bred to over 200 mares in his first two seasons at stud. And like his stablemates at Windstar, he has the potential to become an outstanding sire. He won his first start by over five lengths at Belmont, came right back to win going a mile, and won 33-2 at Aqueduct. Won the Grade 1 Don Handicap, beating the likes of Einstein and DeHare. Won a broad to take the Grade 2 Godolphin Mile over an international field of milers. One going on turf at Santa Anita over a mile, a distance, incidentally, where he was never beaten, going a mile. Ran second in the Grade 1 Malibu, beating such good ones as Midnight Loot and Brother Derek. All told, Spring at Last earned $1,139,000. He's by the leading money. He is the leading money-winning son of Silver Deputy, who has sired 82 stakes winners, and is out of a mare, but Dynaformer from a great family. Spring at Last stands for $7,500 due when the foal stands in nurses. There's a 10% discount if you pay the fee by November 1 of the year bred. And best of all, he stands at a farm with a great record of developing leading sires, Windstar Farm. Inquiries of Robert Hammond, and see the website at windstarfarm.com. All righty. The Tahoma Run Stakes. Now, these are picks from Steve Moody, who's the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. And in between the renditions of from, what was the name of that musical again?
That's it. Guys and Dolls.
Yeah, Guys and Dolls and Arthur Hancock. He had time to handicap this. And he said, go for 215. And that's Dean's Kitten, Max Silver, Hammer, and
Ordination.
Dean's Kitten, Max Silverhammer, and Ordination. And that's from the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, which is published by Bress.
I wonder if they could hear us singing along. Chris and I were singing along.
Oh, were you?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I did that, Jackie.
Oh, okay.
All right.
I'm proud of you. You know, I was thinking, listening to Matt Frazier, and then thinking while you were talking about Jim Fitzgerald, the whole thing with somebody who's a really good horseman is figuring out what's going on with them.
Mm-hmm.
They have little aches and pains. They have little this, little that, that keeps them from being optimal in what they do, whether it's brood mares like Fitzgerald's got, or trying to judge what's going on with a yearling or whatever. They're both real good at that.
Yeah.
They've got that in common. They can look and see, and that takes an eye.
That's like that that horse from the World Games out there that broke down at and they sent him to Jim.
Sent it to Jim, yeah.
And Jim Fitzgerald. And the horse was confined in a stall, and Jim just watched him and said, this is not a happy horse. And he rigged up a stall where the horse could go outside.
Just right outside.
Right outside, and could look around and everything, and that was it.
Be part of the herd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, he knew what he was looking at, knew what to do about it.
Yeah.
And that's a sign of a good horseman.
Yeah, and then I was, yeah, that just came to mind.
Matt's
the same way.
One thing I wanted to do, I wanted to tell this, Steve Moody, if you're listening, this is to you. Jackie's sister lives in Shelbyville. Jackie's sister, Sarah.
Sarah.
And she's married to Ron Sweat. And Ron is a big UK basketball fan. And yesterday, of course, Kentucky was struggling with Princeton. And Jackie talked to Sarah at the halftime there, and she says, "Oh, my God," says, "I sure hope they pull this one out." Says, "I'm not looking forward to talking Ron off that bridge."
Well, there's another bridge in our future today. I hope it doesn't materialize.
Well, if it does, it does. But that's the way it goes. Well, Harlan's Holiday is the number one sire in 2011 stakes winners with 7, and 3 have won graded stakes, including Dynamic Holiday, winner last Sunday, the Grade 3 Here Comes the Bride at Gulfstream, her 3rd consecutive stakes win. Into Mischief is a Grade 1 stakes winner by Harlan's Holiday, and Spendthrift Farm is offering a breed risk-free program to Into Mischief for the 2011 season. Now, the first foals by Into Mischief are yearlings, and he's been popular with breeders, and he will have the numbers in his favor when his first foals race. So, in order to maximize his opportunities for success, the breed risk-free program has been introduced for his 3rd season at stud. Into Mischief was a Grade 1 stakes winner at 2. He won stakes and ran 2nd in Grade 1 stakes at 3. And he had brilliant speed. 6.5 furlongs and won 14-1. 7 furlongs and won 20-1. 1/16 and won 40-4. And that was in Grade 1 stakes. He's by the leading sire of 2011 stakes winners. He's out of a stakes winning mare. And he stands for $8,500 due on the foal stands and nurses. But contact Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, or Sean Feld, or Ned Toffey, and ask about the breed risk-free program. The number is 294-0030, and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. All right, Jackie.
Yes, sir.
You want to do some announcements?
Okay.
So I can rest my vocal cords?
Oh, okay. I was going to suggest you stand up and then sit back down and rest your other parts.
Well, I need to. I'm getting a little saddle sore sitting here. And
sit for 2 hours.
Yeah, I'm not used to that.
Okay, Sean Dameron's back in the bluegrass. Ta-da!
I can't bluegrass.
I know. He's in Versailles. 190 North Main is his address. You go in from Lexington to the courthouse, turn right, and he's up between a couple of churches. His phone number is 230-6449, and he's doing computer repair, that kind of stuff. And then he's doing a lot of installing cameras that project the image on your cell phone or on your computer. And so if you're up in the house and you want to know what's going on down in the barn or at the training center, you just have to dial in. It's extremely clever and a really, really great idea. I just think that's, it's full watching from a distance, even if you want. Okay, University of Kentucky Equine Initiative is having Keeneland's Ted Bassett speak. It's the Distinguished Industry Lecture Series. This one's March 31st at 6 o'clock. It's at the Gluck Equine Research Center in the auditorium at UK. And it's free. And Dan Liebman, Ursel, is going to be there and do question and answers after the talk. So, be interesting, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Kentucky Equine Humane Center Horse of the Week is Sammy. He's a 2-year-old, little kind of immature-looking 2-year-old. But he may not be totally 2 yet. He's a thoroughbred bay, gelding, 15-2, no training. He's just a sweetheart. I got a feeling this is a rescue because they said he's been handled minimally. But he's real sweet, wants to learn, and a real nice mover, so they say. As we speak, the 28th Annual Fayette County Farm Bureau Farm Equipment Consignment Auction is off and running. It started this morning at 9:30. It's at the Horse Park. Farm equipment, lawn equipment, garden equipment, and here comes that ball game right on top of that. That's unfortunate. I guess. But anyway, it's going on right now. Tom Biederman's out there being an auctioneer. So if you're looking for something, farm or garden or lawn or any of that good stuff, ride on out and see what's going on. Also, Snowbird Dressage is going today with Julie Congleton. United States Equestrian Federation is having a dressage clinic from the 22nd to 23rd. Then there's a rodeo, E. Hall. So let's see. What else is going on? Oh, Masterson Equestrian Trust is having a horse show April 16th and 17th. There'll be some cross-country schooling. The Hunter Show is Saturday. The Jumper Show is Sunday. And if you have any questions, just call them out the horse park. It's the first of the 10 or 12 show series where you can accumulate points. Toba's having new owner seminar May 5th at the Derby Museum in Louisville and a breeding clinic here in Lexington May 27th through the 29th. If you're interested, go to toba.org. Equine Humane Center is going to have an all-breed charity show Sunday, May 8th. That'll be a fun one down at Bally High. That's Joyce Brinsfield's place in Versailles. You go down to Bluegrass Parkway and get on it. Get off the first exit. Turn left. That's 33. And go not very far. The road forks. Take the fork to the left. CKRH is looking for horses to be donated, small and large. If they get enough large ones, they're going to do a program for handicapped veterans. Kentucky Horse Park Foundation Cross Country Schooling Days. The first one's coming up. It's Sunday, May 15th. It's a fundraiser for the Horse Park Foundation, and you get to ride where the WEG games and where Rolex and all that good stuff takes place. Otherwise, you're not allowed out there. You can go out there to shows and stuff, but there's no wandering off by yourself and riding around the horse park. This is, you get five chances a year, the first of which is Sunday, May 15th. It's $35, and you have to pay for parking, so I've done that before. It's a good time. Let's see. Oh, Horse Park Foundation's having a spring hat show and luncheon. That's at the Homestead's, what they call that restaurant. It's very good, by the way. It's Sunday. No, scratch that. It's Wednesday, March 23rd. They're going to have the hat show from 9 to 4. You can buy the hats. Luncheon's from 11:30 to 1:30. Very own chef Adam Wade. It's $25. And proceeds go to benefit the foundation. 255-5727. Colostrum's low. All you mayor people out there, they're looking for colostrum. If you can take some Haggard's, Ridden Riddle, Woodford Equine. If you got a racehorse that you want to pass on. The organization is CannerUSA.org. They will list your horse on the internet for free, but you can sell the horse up to $4,999, so give them a call, 608-0043, or go to CannerUSA.org. My friend Peggy Manus in Midway has got a lot of fox hunting stuff. They're getting geared up in Midway. Here come the tourists now that the weather's getting better. So if you want any really nice fox hunting razzmatazz, that's the place to go.
And, of course, we're doing a show from out here, as always, at the Thoroughbred Center out on the Parish Pike, owned by Keenan, incidentally. Anyway, winners, trainers who saddle winners out of here, since we talked last weekend, Bobby Sturgeon, Brian Michael, James Clark, Akiko Gothard, Akiko Gothard again. Another one by Brian Michael. He's having a pretty good season. Jimmy Cargan, Eduardo Caramora, Jimmy Cargan again, Thomas Mungie, and, of course, Matt Frazier, who was on the show earlier, had that winner, stakes winner, down at Remington Park. That music means it's time for us to bail out of here. I want to thank Ressi here in the clocker stand for helping us today. Shara, am I pronouncing your name right? Shana. Shayna. Thank you, Shayna. You did fine. Everybody expects us to screw up on this show all the time because that's what we do.
Well, come on. It's live radio. It's fun.
Right. And we'll catch you next time, hon. And you did real good. That was your first live show, and we'll
forgive you.
If you'll forgive us, we'll forgive you. Talk to you all next week.